your Bibles, your copy of God's Word to Psalm 84. And while you're doing that, I forgot to announce we will have PYF today at 5 p.m. for middle school and high school students. And last week we had a catered meal. This week we have a cereal buffet to draw you there. And let me just tell you, there ain't nothing healthy about this cereal buffet. It's all sweet and sugary. Even threw in a couple of Pop-Tarts. So hopefully you'll come and be a part of that. Ron Hickson was praying for 15. He made a comment to the youth, I'd like to have at least 15. And we had 15 exactly last week. So if you are in middle school, high school, please consider being a part of that, where there is a time to eat some good cereal, time to connect with other students, but more importantly, to gather around His Word. And so please feel free to invite people. We'd love to have you tonight. Psalm 84, Charles Spurgeon called this particular psalm the sweetest psalm, he even gave it a nickname called the Pearl of the Psalms. And as you read it, I want you to know it's not a song of triumph. It's a song, it's a cry of desperation. Why would he call this the Pearl of all the Psalms? Psalm 84. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in You. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for Your Word, that You would have it written down for us, that You would move through the Holy Spirit in men to write down Your Word, to not only reveal to Yourself through Your creation and everything You've made, You've given us Your Word. We thank You for it, and we pray that the longing of this psalmist will be our longing as well. By the work of Your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if you know this about me, but I lived in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's actually said Nevada. I don't like that, but I lived in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I did that when I was 18 years old. I moved out there to live with my sister, who lived out there with her husband, and I lived with them. And my goal was to go out there and make money, not gambling, but working. They pay you good out there back in 1990. Make some money, come back and pay for college. And so I flew out in January. I was about out there 7 to 8 months out there in Las Vegas. I had several jobs. I won't waste time with telling you what those were. But one particular job, I was a valet parker. I parked cars at a restaurant. And I realized quickly that people didn't love my accent out there. They thought it was cute on girls. They didn't think it was cute to hand the keys of their car to some country boy from the mountains of North Carolina. So I went to great lengths to try to hide my accent, because I wanted them to give me their keys and tip me well. And so I would look at them when they would come up, and I would say, well, I'm not going to say, how y'all doing? That's going to give me away. So I'd say, how are you guys doing? And they're like, where are you from? And I'm like, how can they pick up on this? I mean, I'm saying the words. How are they picking up on this? And I realized that many of us Southerners or country people don't put a G on the end of our ing words. It was the doing. How are you guys doing? How you feeling? Good seeing you. So I started saying, how are you guys doing? You know, just to try to get the keys with the where they wouldn't. I worked with two Afghanistan guys there, and Ahmad was one of their names, and they would talk, and this is the rabbit trail, but let me do it. They would talk, these two, Ahmad and his friend, I can't remember his name, but Afghanistan, they were talking. I said, Ahmad, I was listening to him, and I said, when you two guys talk, y'all sound like you're mumbling. I said, you sound like y'all are mumbling to each other. I said, what do we sound like to y'all? And he looked at me, Ahmad said, sounds like y'all are barking. I'm like, barking? What do you mean barking? We all bark. back in story. While I was out there, I really believed I was going to die out there. I got so homesick, and I longed to be back in Brevard, North Carolina. It was an adult city. There was, I think all my friends were over the age of 30. Just people I worked with, people I interact with. I just kind of made it my mission to try to survive it so that I could get back home, and I did do fine financially and came back with money to help with college, so it was a good trip. But I just longed to be back in my house. I longed to be back in my home, and I don't know if you've ever longed for something, but I never had longed for anything so much than to be back in Brevard. I felt out of place. Felt like I didn't belong there. I couldn't wait to get back to Brevard, North Carolina. Have you ever longed for something? Maybe it's not to get back home. Maybe you long, young girls, for a boyfriend. Maybe you long for things of this earth. The psalmist here says, I long. He says, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints. And when the psalmist says his soul, he's saying all that I am, my heart, my soul, my emotions, everything that I am longs for your courts, Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Everything longs to be in your house. Everything I have longs to be in your courts. This crying out is not just, it's lamenting. It's, oh, I long to be there. I don't know what's keeping this psalmist who wrote this from being to the house of the Lord. I don't know if it's old age. I don't know if it's COVID virus. Some kind of virus there, and maybe he's playing it safe. Why did you come this morning? Did you come because you longed to be in the house of the Lord? Did you come because you yearned to be here? We're going to look at the aspect of why did he long to be in the house of the Lord? And this Psalm 84 will take us on a journey and answer that question, I believe. Do you long to be in the house of the Lord? They speak of this longing. They speak of blessed is the one who gathers in the... He wants the blessings of gathering in God's house. Look at verse 4. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on this pilgrimage to your house. Verse 12. Blessed is the man who trusts in you. You know, if you do social media, I haven't gone any further than Facebook, and I think my daughter's on Twitter. Glad I don't get to, or what is it? What is it? Instagram, I guess, is what they're doing. I've got as far as Facebook, and that's as far as I'll go, probably. But have you ever seen hashtag blessed? I think that's a Twitter thing. You put hashtag blessed, hashtag blessed, and a lot of times, have you ever just kind of looked at what people are saying blesses them? You know, maybe it's a sweet marriage. You know, talk about how great their husband is, hashtag blessed. Or maybe they're out in the outdoors and they're looking at the beauty of the outdoors and hashtag blessed. And so often, these hashtags, if you look at them, if you are familiar with them, maybe you've even done it, Are pictures or photos at fun places or special moments or a season of life. It's kind of a chance for us to say, hey, I'm doing good, you know. We always just put our best pictures on Facebook. We try to untag us on the bad ones. Most of them share this common theme that being blessed is just having all the pleasures you want of this world. Just enjoying the delights. And God's lavished those upon us. It's not wrong to feel blessed and to say, God, you've blessed me. We should be blessed. But when the psalmist says blessed, when he says hashtag blessed, he's talking about the worship of the Lord, the house of God, his tabernacle specifically here. One person said that the good life is not about having everything you wanted, it's about having God. And that's what the psalmist is saying. It's not about all the things of this earth. It's about the one who created all those things. We're going to look at four points that I think this passage sets forth here for us on why we should come to church. And again, I don't know why you came here today. I don't know what your motives were. I don't know if you long to be here today. I know that there are brothers and sisters who can't be here today that long to be here today. But we go to church, the first one is for His presence. Now we know as Christians that when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and we turn from our sins and repent of our sins and we say, I put my trust in you, Jesus Christ, that when that conversion takes place, when we quit living for ourselves and being Lord of our life and we say, we trust in Jesus, the one who came and died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead and conquered death, we put our trust in Him and in only Him. When we do that, we know that the Holy Spirit indwells us. And so His presence is in every believer. That's something that Jesus promised His disciples. They didn't have that then. The Holy Spirit would move in people, but they had Jesus in flesh, and He said, I got something better. We talked about this recently. I got something better for you that's going to be even better for you, and that's the Holy Spirit. And that's because the Holy Spirit can be in all of us. But there's something special about coming into His house and of the presence of the Lord. We've sung that several times. Oh, Your presence, may it come down in a very special way as we gather around Your Word. He says it in this psalm as well. If you look in verse 1, how lovely is Your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. He wants the presence of God. And that's what the tent was like that they had, the tabernacle tent. That's what I believe this is actually speaking of the temple, because of the referral to birds having their nest up in the up near the altar. We know that God meets us in a very special way when we gather here. And, you know, that should be our goal as a church. And it's so wonderful. We were praying this morning together, and sometimes we'll have 5, 6 people. Sometimes we'll have 10. And we're praying about His worship, and we're praying that God would meet us here this morning. Not that He wasn't in us, but that it would be a very special, encouraging time. And we know that to be true, right? When you gather purposely for His worship, now we're to worship God whatever we do, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we give glory to God. But we know that when we gather with His people for that purpose, it's different, isn't it? It's like listening to music on the radio opposed to being at the concert. And it's different, isn't it? You'll hear a song and you'll sing it. You go to a concert, a secular concert, and you're singing out, and it's almost, you feel like you're transformed by just worldly music in a sense. Or a football game, you're standing in the stadiums and you're screaming loud. I remember I had the privilege of going to the national championship in California, and I remember being there and just soaking in everything and looking at the Alabama fans and looking at the Clemson fans and trying to find a way to get on camera. And it was just exciting to be there, to be able to know what it's like to gather for that special event. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Oh, how good it is to gather for that special day, to gather for that special event where we come and we bring sacrifices and we offer them up for our sins and we praise You and we worship You in song. He says, I long for that, Father. You know, we had a chance to think about that when we had COVID, right? And we all were quarantined, and maybe we should be quarantined now, and I don't... I don't feel bad at all about gathering here this morning when I see people filling up stadiums to worship football. I didn't feel bad about bringing the youth together for a Bible study when I saw them having sleepovers during COVID the first part with their friends and having pool parties and stuff. And we do what we want to do, right? I know, don't get me wrong. I know there's people who've really been cautious, and I'm not. But COVID was a chance for us to see what it's like not to gather with God's people, and it stunk. It stunk for me. You know, I was thinking about my life. Growing up a preacher's kid, I never missed a Sunday, okay? Never missed a Sunday, because that was a blessing to me. I didn't realize it then, but it was a blessing that my dad was called to be a pastor, and I spent every Sunday morning, every Sunday night gathering God's people, counting the minutes at times, missing the boat at times. But I'm saying it was such a blessing for me. You know that the only time in my life where I really got away from gathering with God's people was my season of college. And I kind of like sleeping in on Sunday. And I kind of like not, you know, I got to get up early on Monday, got to get up early on Tuesday. And I didn't protect it. I'd go maybe every other week, maybe once or twice a month. And I felt good about myself. I'm going once or twice a month. Look at me. I'd even wear my suit to the cafeteria at Western Carolina after I'd go, so people would say, there's a church goer. And then as soon as the Lord grabbed a hold of me during that college time, church became a priority for me. Worship of His worship became a priority for me. I longed to be with God's people. I found myself listening to sermons. I found myself reading God's Word. But I said, I can't wait to gather with God's people. And God led me into full-time ministry as soon as I graduated. And I still never missed a Sunday. I missed a Sunday for vacation or a Sunday for a youth trip. And even when we went on those youth trips, we would try to find a church to worship the Lord. Because I wanted to instill in the students how important it is that we gather with Him, gather for the Lord, to be in His presence with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to worship Him. And God was transforming me to long for it and to want it, to want to be in His presence, to want to be with others that were saying, we are about praising Him. Now, get me wrong, I've been to churches where that wasn't really the heart's desire of most of the people. They weren't there to praise God. They were there to critique worship. They were there to critique the singer. They were there to critique the pastor. Well, he's working this day. Good. Make sure he at least works one day a week. We gather to be in His presence. We gather for Him to meet us there with His Word. We gather to hear somebody hopefully trained on the preaching of God's Word to be able to expound on God's Word to us. Do you long for that? I remember this, Linda, and I think I've shared this with y'all. I'll try to share it quickly. But I remember Linda having, when we've had our first three kids, it seemed like every week somebody else was sick. This was before COVID. Everybody was sick. Macari would be sick. She'd get better care. She would be sick the next Sunday. And then Hart would be sick. And it just would go back and forth. And Linda sometimes could miss 2-3 Sundays out of the week because of caregiving. I'm like, Linda, you take care of the home. I'll go be a youth pastor. And she was struggling in the call that God had given her. She'd struggled in just her joy. She was struggling with things. She looked at me one day and she just pleaded with me. She said, David, I need to be in the house of the Lord. I need to be worshiping. I'm dying here. And it says, blessed is those who gather and worship Him. And my prayer is not just for you, but for your children, that they would understand that this is what we do. We gather to worship God. It's not a social club. It's not, I don't just go because mom and dad make me go. I go because I want to go. It's not just a habit. It's not just, oh, I just got a lot of history. My granddaddy's name's on the window, so I got to be here. It's I want to be in the presence of the Lord. And the second point is I want to be here to praise Him. I want to be here to praise Him. I don't care what song David Sanders picks. I don't care what new song or old song or slow song or fast song. I don't care if we sing a cappella. Isn't that a great song? I don't care what it is. I'm going to sing to the Lord. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to sing to the Lord because He deserves it. Because He saved me from my sins. Because He's called me His child. I'm going to praise Him for who He is and how He's made Himself known. And I'm going to do that with His people. The psalmist knew that at the tabernacle there'd be a bunch of sinners. That's why there was a bunch of sacrifices going on. He knew there'd be people there that kind of were hard for Him to love. He knew there'd be people there that maybe weren't doing the sacrifices, weren't repenting of their sin, just going through the motion. Our number one purpose should be with God and be with His people when every chance we get so that we can worship Him together. There's nothing like being in a football stadium when all the fans are yelling, hugging strangers, and we're all cheering for a bunch of 18 to 22-year-old boys to carry a pumpkin around the field. And we say, that's my identity. If they lose, I feel like a loser. If they win, I feel like a winner. And how can I feel like more of a winner than my friend who pulls for the other team or that person? And that's what we're doing. And what God said, what the psalmist said, I long to be in the presence of the Lord to worship Him for who He is, and my identity is in Him by His mercy and grace. It wasn't until later in life where the Lord kind of called him and said, David, I don't care where you are on Sunday. I don't care if you're at the beach. I don't care if you're there. You gather with His people and you worship. And it's hard on vacation when all you do is go to church. To say, let's go find a church. Or let's gather as a family if you have a big family. Let's have a time of worship this morning. Let's sing praises to the Lord. Linda's family's been such a good influence on me because every time we would go and have family time with her family, you can be sure that if it fell on a Sunday, we were going to worship together at some point, whether we go to a church or whether we worship together in the context of the house. We were going to worship the Lord, and it was going to be like a worship service. And we were going to give Him our attention. The psalmist says, and he says that we gather to praise Him. Look at what it says. It says, blessed, in verse 4, are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. In your presence, praising you. He mentions this journey, this pilgrimage. In verse 5, he said, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on a pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Now there's different views of what this valley of Baca is. But it was a place on the road through the desert of Jerusalem. It was a place on the road that it seemed like it was a source of strength for them. Some theologians argue the valley is where it would rain frequently, and the pools of water would collect there, and it was kind of like a rest stop on the way to the house of the Lord when people were pilgrimaging to the house of the Lord. You know, for 15 to 20 years, I took kids all the way to Panama Beach, Florida, to RYM. It'd be about an 8-9 hour drive, depending on what church I was coming from, the one in Augusta or the one up in Spartanburg, and I would drive 50, 30, 40, 50 kids in these buses, and we'd go down there, and I knew, doing it for 15 years, I knew where I wanted to stop. I knew that Love's gas station could take a bunch of people in there. I knew that Chick-fil-A that had a big parking place for the, sometimes we'd have to charter a bus, had a parking place right there by the bowling alley in Columbus, Georgia. I knew that little rest stop past some weird town, Effula, Alabama, right there. There's a rest area right there on the highway that you can stop there and have one last rest area stop. I knew where those are, and I feel like the Valley of Baca, some say that's kind of what it was to the people pilgrim. It was a place where they would get refreshed. Others say that it was a place where it goes back to Judges 2, where there was repentance that took place, and there were lots of weeping and tears. I'm not sure which one it is. We don't really fully know. But both of them are just beautiful. As they're going to worship the Lord, they stop at a place that would strengthen them for what they're about to do. What is it? Let me ask you this. Have you ever given it thought, young and old? Have you ever given it thought? I don't care if you're the youngest person in here. Have you ever given it thought of how you could prepare for His worship today? See, I get paid to prepare for His worship. It's really a blessing to be a pastor. I get to work all week in God's Word and study it and soak in it and prepare. And then all of a sudden the songs are making sense to me and the words mean something more to me and I'm preparing for it. I've shared with y'all, maybe I haven't, but I've shared with y'all that I would ask youth, what time do they go to bed before the Lord's Day? And we would have everybody's name in the youth group and I'd say, all right, Jimmy, what time you go? What time did you go to bed? 12? Next one, 1, 3 a.m.? Very few of them would say, I went to bed at 10 o'clock last night. I didn't watch the rest of the game because I wanted to prepare for His worship. I wanted to give God my best. I wanted to gather with Him and sing praises to Him, the former pastor, full throat. I wanted to sing out to the Lord. Whether this Valley of Baca was just a place to strengthen them or it was a place of repentance, both of them are crucial in worship. Both of them are crucial when we gather in His presence, that we're reflecting on our own failures and our sin, because what will happen with that is our praise for our salvation will grow. Our praise for our celebration of what He's done, the miracle He's done in our life, will grow. Our focus on ourselves will go away and our focus will become on God, because we see how much we need Him for our salvation. We see how much we need Him for our sanctification. We go there to praise Him. We go there to be in His presence. And we gather there for a conversation. Look at verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look up the face of your anointed. We know God speaks to His people in the context of the gathering of His people, and He speaks through His word, and we have a chance to respond in praise and worship, but it's a holy conversation. I learned that at seminary. I didn't know that for the first 25 years of my life, that worship was a conversation between God and me. God and us. God speaks. We respond with a hymn. That gives you a whole lot of different motivation. Okay, God said His word. Let's sing about it. Let's sing in response. Hopefully your preacher will do a good job selecting the songs and you say, oh, that's why he picked that song. That fits right in with what the sermon was about. Oh, that's why he picked that song of praise and adoration, because that fits in with the song. That fits in the psalm that called us to His worship. It's a holy conversation. The Lord hears us speak. He wants us to talk to Him, not only throughout the week, but He wants us to talk to Him corporately. He wants to look down and He wants us to speak, and we talk in so many different ways. We talk by singing songs. We talk by joining in prayer and praying as the pastor prays. We talk in regards to all the responses we have. It's a holy conversation between the Creator of all the things that we are so distracted by. The One who made all the things that just so easily make us make them. We make the created things a priority over the Creator. And so we come into His presence. The benefits His presence, the benefits His praise, and the benefits is that holy conversation. And then He says, for His provision and protection. Look at all throughout the passage, but look specifically at verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. What we find there is security and safety. You think of the birds, and he envies the bird. He says, does the sparrow not have safety in your house? I was reading different historical studies on this, and they're saying that they wouldn't mess with the nest and the birds, and the birds would find safety and refuge. He says, oh, I find that too. I wish I could just be the bird and be there, or the doorkeeper, the gatekeeper, and be there. You have the Beatitudes of Psalm 84. Blessed are those who dwell in the house. Blessed are those whose strength. Blessed is the man who trusts. He will strengthen us. He will protect us. He will shield us. He will be a light to us, a sun and a shield. He will give grace and glory to us. That's amazing. God could just say, I want y'all to worship me. It's all about me, and it is. But He says, and I'm going to bless you for it. I'm going to strengthen you for it. I don't know if you noticed during COVID the times that you couldn't gather with God's people, how your weeks played out. How hard it was to worship the Lord online. I know here at New Harmony that y'all would drive here, and I like that y'all drove physically here because that's the only way you could listen to the live feed was through the radio feed, and you would sit in your car. That's how I interviewed for the process. I had a small group here and a bunch of people out there, and they said they sure could hear me sing because of the mic. But sadly, I heard people up in Spartanburg say these words, and hopefully if you've said this, you'll be sad and repent. But we hadn't seen some families in a while once we started coming back to church, and pastorally we started calling them and checking on, hey, I hadn't seen you at church in a while, we're worshiping again, we try to do it at a safe distance, what's going on? And they didn't say, hey, we're scared of COVID. Some of them did. Or we're just playing it safe, and we'd pray with them and say, what can we do to help you? But there were some of them who would just say, I kind of got used to just kind of watching on TV. I kind of got used to sleeping in and doing it later. And some of those people have never come back to church. Some of them have never come back to church. I have friends who don't go to worship the Lord that profess to be Christians, and they say, I just like my Sundays to be my day, not the Lord's day. I want it to be my day. I want to do what I want to do on the Lord's day. I like 2 days for a weekend. That's awesome. Or maybe your excuse is, well, there's a bunch of people there, they're hypocrites. A wise man said at Mount Calvary, we're worried, wrestling with, should we open up the service again once we got the green light from the session and all that stuff. And he said, people do what they want to do. If they want to come, they'll come. But the psalmist says, I long to be in the house of the Lord. One day we won't be able to go. We've got dear brothers and sisters who can't go to the house of the Lord. They cannot get out of their bed. They cannot come out of their nursing home. They cannot come here. And they long for it. They long for a bulletin. They long for a CD of the sermon. They long for information about their brothers and sisters in Christ. They long to be with the people again. And now they're stuck into a little room, and they're all by themselves, and they just long to it. Every time I visit an older person who loves Jesus Christ, they just talk about how much they miss gathering with God's people. And that's what the psalmist is saying. And yet we can so often, y'all want to go to church tomorrow? You dads, you're called to lead your families on this. And so often we're the biggest failures at it. And we need our wives to encourage us and nudge us in it. I want to go back to the bird. I know I've gone a little bit over. I want to go back to the bird to end this sermon. The bird, they believe that we're located right near the altar, according to this passage. He says, even the sparrow has found a home, a swallow, a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. And I want you to think about the birds and where they're at. And that's where we all must go when we come to His worship. That's what our church, you need to pray our church continues to do, is that we go to the fact that altar back there in the tabernacle represented the sacrifice of a lamb for the sins of the people. And they would have to do a lamb for each person, and they had all the smells, all this stuff was going on. And when we gather, make sure wherever you gather with God's people is that they're coming to that same altar that has been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. That our sins have been paid for because of Christ. That we have access to the Father because of Christ. That we're holy and blameless and can even have this conversation of praise and be in His presence because of Christ and what He did on the cross. The perfect Lamb of God, who was the sacrifice, the once and for all sacrifice that did away with the sacrificial system. We don't have to sacrifice sheep anymore because Jesus is the Lamb that has come to take away the sins of us. I'd love to go on an Alaskan cruise. Long for it. Would love to eat the salmon and eat and go to my room. Somebody else cleans it up. I'd love to go on an Alaskan cruise. But the psalmist says here, one day in your courthouse is better than 1,000 anywhere else. And that includes an Alaskan cruise. One day in your presence with your people, just one day, if I could be the sparrow in the nest with his chicks, if I could be the door gatekeeper who just welcomes people and say, hey, go on in, I'm glad you're here. Whatever it takes, one day in your house is like 1,000 elsewhere. like 1,000 nights on an Alaskan cruise. Is that how you feel about it? Oh, we need to fall on our knees and say, God, do that to me. Make me prepare. Make me get strong. Make me prepare throughout the week for your worship. Make me study your word. Make me want to not just, the only word I get is from the fat man up there. But every day I'm going to be in your word. So that when I get to your day, I can enjoy your worship. Let's pray. Father, one day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. We praise you for giving us access to your throne. We praise you for calling your people to gather. We praise you for bringing us together as one in Christ Jesus. We praise you and we love to be in your presence. And we thank you for all the blessings and provisions that come from it. And Father, we pray that you would do that in us and our children, and that there won't be a day where this church will be empty, and there won't be a day like it is in some countries where the church was booming and was doing so well that they all have gone away from your word to pursue selfish pursuits. Oh, Father, may we treasure your worship and your place of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.